From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. It probably goes without saying, those in the Mormon voting bloc in this state aren't crazy about Donald Trump. And do I really need to explain why? But here's the question. Would they, will they vote for Trump over a Democrat, or one Democrat in particular, Hillary Clinton? That bloc has been reliably Republican for decades now. Does Trump change things? Well, look at the polls. And in the race for president, in all the polls so far in this state, it's close, closer than it has been in a long time. But is it close enough? That's what we're talking about today. Mormon voters may be grossed out by Donald Trump's behavior, but will that override what one of our guests today says is the single most important variable in how people vote? It's not character. It's party affiliation. What do you think? Join us after the news.
Support for Radio West comes from thousands of sustainers, listeners just like you who give ongoing monthly donations to help pay for the public radio shows they rely on. Show your love for Radio West by becoming a sustainer, starting at just $5 a month at KUER.org.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. One of the Utah delegates Robert Gerke followed at the Republican convention a few weeks ago was David Harmer of Bountiful. Robert was writing about the struggle of some Utah Republicans in getting behind the party's nominee, Donald Trump. Harmer came up with a good way of describing that struggle for voters like him, LDS Republicans. I'll paraphrase what he told Gerke. He said, "Those who play church basketball may get into a scrape or two, but Mormons are generally nice. They don't swear at each other, don't make gratuitous insults." And you can tell what he was getting at. Harmer may have done his best at trying to support his party's nominee for president, but at some point, it seems like he couldn't take it anymore. Harmer said in a Facebook post that he would not be in the hall when Donald Trump accepted the nomination that night. Thursday night, that was. In fact, he said he was heading home early. Now, I'm not sure if Mr. Harmer mentioned in the post who he would be voting for, but there are a lot like him who are facing this decision. Do they hold their nose and vote with their party? Do they vote for Hillary Clinton? Do they write in someone else? Or do they stay home on Election Day? Today in the program, we're talking about all of this, about Utah voters and this particular block of voters, Mormon voters, and what they might do this year. We're hoping to hear from you if you have questions or comments. 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. You can also join us on Facebook or Twitter. Chris Karpowitz is with us, co-director of the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy at Brigham Young University, where he's also an associate professor there of political science, and he's joining us here in the studio. And Professor, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for being with us. Morgan Lyon-Cotty is back with us, state program manager at the Hinckley Institute of Politics, also an associate adjunct professor at the University of Utah. And welcome back to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Already mentioned Robert Gerke. He's with us, reporter covering politics and government for the Salt Lake Tribune. Robert, welcome back to you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
That David Harmer story, do you think that was kind of the way a lot of delegates were thinking? I mean, I don't know if how many of them actually ditched out and went home early, but I mean, that does seem to reflect the conflict they were feeling.
There were a handful on that last night of the convention who were not present for that speech. They decided to take a pass, including David, as you mentioned. These were, of course, Ted Cruz supporters by and large, because
right.
Ted Cruz won Utah so overwhelmingly. But they are still having a lot of heartburn about where they see this party going and with the candidate that they've chosen.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to sort of get a sense of what this is really all about. And we're going to sort of focus on this Mormon voting bloc because it's obviously significant in the Intermountain West, Utah in particular. You would think, Chris Karpowitz, let me talk to you about this. You would think that this particular bloc would be more inclined to be driven by religious values than political imperatives. But is that true?
Well, I think for many years, members of the LDS Church who are Republicans have felt very little conflict between those two commitments. And Mormon Democrats might say they've not felt uncomfortable enough. They should have been less comfortable with all of that. But I think for years, Mormons have been a reliably Republican bloc, yeah. and many Mormons have felt very, very comfortable there. What's unusual about this year is that it's bringing those religious values into conflict with yeah. their partisan allegiances. And
because they could always work it out in the past.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
can't this time for some
exactly.
reason.
I mean, it was obviously incredibly easy with Mitt Romney as yeah. the party nominee. But now we're talking about someone who certainly stylistically is very different from the sorts of values that Mormons are taught to live, and also in terms of policy positions. I mean, yeah. someone who takes a stand for a religious test for immigration, for example, that's just going to raise lots of questions in the minds of many Mormons.
Morgan, what do you think this is about, this particular issue is about, that they find him distasteful, doesn't align with their values? I mean, where is the conflict as you're seeing it right now? We'll break this down as we go, but give me a broad sense of how you're thinking about it.
I think that it actually is broad. As Chris was saying, there's so many things about Donald Trump's life, about his personality. I mean, we were talking about how Mitt Romney obviously was so popular with Mormons. And could you find a more different personality or candidate with Donald Trump compared to Mitt Romney? I don't think you can. But also when it comes to these policies, Utahns and Mormons are known to be very conservative, but on a number of issues, they're actually really pragmatic. And we've had so much national attention for Utah's immigration policy, yeah. for the LGBT anti-discrimination and religious freedom bill. And he uses such extreme language, and it just does not align at all with where Utahns are, and especially with the immigration policy when we're talking about Mormons. Such a large group of Mormons serve LDS missions. Mm-hmm. And it's not – you can't turn immigrants and refugees into these faceless others. These are people that Mormons have served with and that they know. And it just does not – it doesn't jibe with their view of the world.
Yeah. We'll come back to that. Let me – Robert, give us a sense of – I know you – the Tribune and the Hinckley Institute, you've done your own polling.
Right.
The Utah policy came out with the Dan Jones and Associates poll just today. It's not much different from the poll in the past, although it seems like the Libertarian candidate,
Gary Johnson,
seems to be surging a bit. But how close is it right now in relative terms? If you look at all of the polls so far, it's fairly close.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's close for a Utah election.
Right,
I mean,
right.
this is something, you know. Again, Mitt Romney, I believe, got close to 70% last election, and so you know we see in the Tribune poll it was pretty much a dead heat, 35 each for Clinton and Trump, and then Johnson was about 13, if I recall. Yeah. The Dan Jones poll that you mentioned that was out today had it, I think, Trump was at 37 and Clinton was at 25.
25, yeah.
So, you know, there's...
And Johnson was at 16.
16. So yeah. There's some, you know, there's some daylight there for Trump now. Again, it seems like, though, as you mentioned, Johnson made a little bit of a surge in this latest poll. He's up to 16%, as you said. And that probably indicates that people are sort of starting to, you know, find alternatives, you know, that some of the discontent, disaffected voters are trying to find alternatives, and he's somebody they're taking a look at. He was just here on Saturday, spoke here at the University of Utah, and is making a pitch that he is a viable, legitimate alternative.
I should mention, I don't know, 538, the website 538, mm-hmm. that does a lot of collecting of these polls. They've been collecting Utahs, and they're noting, of course, these differences, but they're also saying right now, chance, or at least in November, Donald Trump's chance of winning in Utah is at 95%.
Right. Well, which is considerably lower than it usually is, right? I mean, the fact that we're talking about Utah as possibly being in play is a fairly shocking event. And you know, I mean, some of the handicappers have moved it from a solid Republican to leans Republican.
Yeah.
I think that's probably still a fair bet, because I think at the end of the day, a lot of these voters end up voting their party, because right. there are issues that are driving people. And you know, I heard it at the convention time and again that people are not liking Donald Trump. Governor Herbert said he's feeling a little bit better about it with the selection of Mike Pence as his vice presidential nominee, running mate. But there are issues like the control of the Supreme Court that are just sort of that sway these people back into the Republican camp.
What are you seeing, Chris Karpowitz, in the polling so far? Anything interesting there?
Well, I think much the same. I think there's a great deal of dissatisfaction. This is just anecdotal, but I don't know how many people have stopped me to say this year, what do I do? Who do I vote for?
Yeah.
And so I think in the polling, one of the uncertainties we have actually is who will actually show up to vote.
Right.
Because in an election where you're dissatisfied to some extent with all of the alternatives, one option is to sit this one out. And I don't think we have a good sense yet of how that's going to play out in Utah. I think the vote by mail complicates this equation even more. We don't quite know how that's going to factor into who shows up and who doesn't. So
why would that complicate it? Because it's...
It's a little easier to vote by mail.
Right,
and we don't have vote by mail in all counties in the state.
Sure.
And so that's a further complication. So, I think these polls are all showing something similar, which is about a third or maybe a little more than a third of Utah voters have made their peace with Donald Trump and will probably vote for him. What happens with the rest of those voters and how many of them actually end up casting a ballot, I think, is an open question.
Well, and Chris kind of touched on this, but we're talking a lot about the negative feelings toward Donald Trump, but in the polls have also shown that Hillary Clinton is even more disliked in this state.
That's right.
And so, it's not just a matter of holding your nose and picking a candidate. It's the choice of lesser evils. It's the choice of both of them are evil in the minds of many voters. And so you end up having to decide where you're going to end up at the end of the day, where how you can sleep with yourself or sleep at night.
Here's a question from Paul, who writes, "It's my understanding that most LDS voters wouldn't vote for a woman for president, regardless of her party affiliation." I'm not sure where Paul got that understanding, but is that at all a factor, by the way? I mean, it's not just Hillary Clinton. It's the fact that she's a woman. Does that even – have you seen any thinking about that coming into the
I haven't seen
– role for a woman or something?
Yeah. I haven't seen any evidence that Utahns are unwilling to vote for a woman. In the state of Utah, we certainly do have a deficit of representation for women. There's no question about that. But I certainly haven't seen any evidence that it's because of her gender specifically. I think there are lots of other things that people tend to point to when they express concern about Hillary Clinton, including decisions made by her husband when he was the president of the United States. So,
what do you think, Morgan? Any ideas about the sort of gender issue?
Yeah, as Chris said, we have really low numbers of women in government here in the state. A big part of that is because women are more likely nationwide to be Democrats, and so to vote Democratic and to run as a Democratic candidate, and we don't have that going on. In fact, Utah's legislature has more female Democrats than female Republicans, and for what a supermajority is, that's really astounding. But the polls aren't really showing that Utahns won't vote for Hillary because she's a woman. As the first woman, there's obviously hurdles. The first of anything, it's really challenging. But Hillary's winning, or she has a lead among women in Utah. It's much smaller than what it is in the rest of the country. But really, comments like this, what we hear, it's more anecdotal than anything.
801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Let's take a call from Ben, who's joining us in Murray. Ben, welcome.
Oh, hello. My question is, what choices are there for the parties and the presidents? I have Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, and some others. Can you tell me what choices there are?
We don't need to go down a litany of the particular – you can sort of check that yourself. But I guess the thing that interested me about the question was, what are the options? Gary Johnson, as you said, Robert seems to be an option now for some. They're trying to decide this particular option. What else would you do? Like write in a candidate? I mean, these people who are conflicted, Chris Karpowitz, what are they saying they might do.
Well, I do think Gary Johnson is interesting as an option. I don't think he fully ticks all the boxes for lots of Utah voters. That is, he satisfies a libertarian strain in Utah political thought, but he's not socially conservative. And so how voters manage the conflict between those issues, I think, is an interesting one. In terms of what else they do, I mean, one of the things we're anxious to see is whether people just don't vote at the top of the ballot. I mean, typically we talk about presidential coattails, right?
Yeah.
People vote enthusiastically for the candidate at the top of the ticket, and that carries through. This year we may see the exact reverse of that. That is, people going to the polls, writing someone in, or even not voting at the top of the ticket, and then voting further down the ballot. Although, again, this goes back to issues that you started with. I mean, if I had – what I tell my students is that if I had to have one piece of information to predict how people would vote, it's their sense of attachment to a political party. And that fact favors Republicans in the state of Utah enormously. And so whether people will actually leave those party allegiances, I think, is still an open question.
Well, it is kind of interesting that 4 years ago, Gary Johnson was also the Libertarian nominee, and he got 1.3% of the vote in Utah. Now we're talking about him polling at 16%.
Yeah.
That shows, I think, that there's that large segment of the population that is kind of desperate for just about anything. And as Chris mentioned, he, you know, this Libertarian strain, it does work. You know, the limited government works for some conservative Utahns, Republican Utahns. But the issues of, you know, he supports legalizing marijuana. He's actually been an executive on a marijuana company. He supports marriage choice, you know, if you same-sex marriage. These are issues that don't sit well with the Republican Mormon.
I can't figure out where he really actually does align with Utah voters.
Well, limited government. He wants to shrink the government, get rid of the Department of Education, give more
control to
states, you know, state sovereignty. Those issues all are right in the wheelhouse of Republican Utahns. And so there is, you know, I saw a funny interview with him where he was running down the list. This was with a liberal interviewer, and she said, "Well, I agree with every other thing you said." and so, you know, it's sort of, you know, you have to decide how much of that you're willing to swallow. There's Jill Stein, who's running as the Green Party candidate. She's polling, you know, with getting a few percent, probably pulling those away from Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders supporters who, you know, aren't comfortable with Clinton. And then today we had Evan McMullen, who is a Utah-born Republican who is jumping into the race, and he's going to try to challenge Trump in the few states where he can actually get on the ballot, still Utah being one of them.
Right. He's a former BYU grad.
Served a mission in Brazil, worked for the CIA.
Yeah.
He's got the backing of some fairly prominent Republicans and establishment Republicans. So it's going to be interesting to see how much of a dent that could make. And then the last option, I guess, when I talked to Gail Ruzicka at the convention, she said she's going to write somebody in. She's going to write in a Republican.
I wonder if there's going to be a lot of that. Those write-ins, just as a matter of principle.
Yeah. Mitt Romney may do surprisingly well. Even in 2016. This Evan McMullen option is an interesting one. I mean, Morgan and I on our way in here today were asking each other, how much do you know about Evan McMullen? And we, between the two of us, knew a little bit, but not very much. And I think that's going to be the case for most Utahns. So he's got an uphill climb in terms of introducing himself to the state. But as Robert indicated, he does have the backing of some interesting people in the Republican Party.
Well, and the best thing he's got going for him is he's somebody else, right?
Exactly.
I mean, he's an option for those people who just can't swallow either, you know, any of the other choices.
Well, and somebody else who can say that he has Republican credentials. He's not this typical third party candidate that people can't even remember the name of the party.
Right.
He can say, "Hey, I've worked in the party. I'm dissatisfied like you. Give me your support."
One of the things that that you've written about, Chris Karpowitz, is how it is that Mormon voters in particular are distinctive. There's this impression, you've said, that Mormon voters are a lot like evangelical voters. They have the same sort of, you know, because they maybe align on some of the social issues, they behave in the same ways. But you say they're quite different or can be different in important ways.
Well, with respect to some issues, I think they are different. And Morgan was mentioning this earlier. I think with respect to issues like immigration, with respect to issues like the Utah Compromise, Mormon voters have proved to be yes, reliably Republican, but also pragmatic about mm-hmm. certain issues and even more moderate on issues like abortion, for example. Mormons tend to be somewhat more moderate. Now, they're still opposed to abortion in most circumstances, right. but they're more willing to make exceptions for the life of the mother, for example, or for rape or incest or those sorts of issues. And so that those may seem like small differences, but they're actually differences that cause them to part ways with evangelicals in the South, for example. Whereas if we just look at their vote choices over years, they look pretty similar.
But one thing I've noticed is this seems to be an historical characteristic of Utah voters, this idea of being moderate. Mm-hmm. This is one thing that you've written about not so long ago. You said really it wasn't until like there used to be a lot of Utah Democrats, like the Utahns were firmly for the New Deal, that whole thing. And so Utah voters tended to be fairly moderate. It wasn't until 1968 mm-hmm. when they started voting for Nixon. They were on board with Nixon that things started changing. Would you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. And I think what's happening in Utah sort of mirrors what's happening in the United States as a whole. So in the 1960s, you see the beginnings of changes within the parties themselves. So there used to be liberal Republicans and conservative Democrats. And over time, beginning in the 60s, liberals and conservatives have sort of sorted themselves into Republican and Democratic camps. And so where there used to be overlap in these interesting ways, that exists to a lesser extent now. This sorting process has occurred, and Mormons have gone along with this sorting, right? As social issues have sorted into the Republican Party, Mormons have kind of comfortably moved in that direction. Again, they're not wholly the same as evangelicals, but by and large, they've found a comfortable home in the Republican Party.
Well, and it's interesting, the Republican Party was founded on one of the founding principles was to eliminate polygamy and you know.
And one of the twin relics of barbarism.
And so, you know, there's been this tremendous shift. And I think, and as Chris kind of touched on it, in the late 60s, early 70s, you started seeing these social issues taking prevalence in politics. And so you had, you know, Roe versus Wade, you had the Equal Rights Amendment that the LDS Church was very outspoken on. And it sort of pushes them into that camp and also sort of a backlash against I think the sort of the hippie movement and the, mm-hmm. you know and so you just see the LDS voters moving in that direction. And Chris is they've done studies on this at BYU that the older LDS voters tend to be more likely to vote Democratic. The younger LDS voters actually are more likely to be Republican, which is sort of contradictory to the prevailing trends in among voters.
Is that true?
Yes, that's true. My colleague Quinn Monson and his colleagues David Campbell and John Green have written an excellent book about this. And it is true that young LDS voters tend to be more Republican. That makes them quite different from young voters in most other parts of the country.
So they're bucking a millennial trend.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And it raises a question of whether this move to the Republican Party is going to increase over time as this group grows older, as they have children, and this older generation that Robert was talking about moves off the political scene. Are we going to see an even more Republican block of votes?
When we get back from a break, we'll talk a little bit about if you have to make a decision, and maybe it's not a sort of a binary decision to say between your political values and your sort of moral values, which do you choose? Because I think that would be an interesting question when we get back from a break. You can join us, 801-585-WEST is the number. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Chris Karpowitz, co-director of the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy at BYU, is with us. Morgan Lyon-Cotty, state program manager at the Hinckley Institute of Politics here at the University of Utah, also with us. And Robert Gerke, reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, Here's one of the questions. Will Utah voters vote for Donald Trump? In particular, will the Mormon electorate vote for Donald Trump? And on the surface of it, you wouldn't think so. His personal life, his language, his brash persona can't be appealing to Mormon voters. Isn't, in fact. But do they put values above political ideology when they cast a vote these days? Have they ever? We're talking about Utah voters today with Chris Karpowitz of BYU, Morgan Lyon-Cotty of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, Robert Gerke with the Salt Lake Tribune. You can join us. 801-585-WEST is the number. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. So to that question, and Morgan, let me put this to you. Will this Mormon voting bloc, will they look the other way on values if the candidate aligns with them politically? I mean, we've been talking a little bit about that, but which is the stronger impulse?
Yeah, it is so interesting because historically we've seen that strongest impulse really is party. But a funny term that I recently learned is the Diet Coke Mormon. And there could be many iterations and explanations for why what Diet Coke Mormon means. But in this sense, I was actually speaking to former Congressman Bill Orton's widow, and she was telling me that the way he won Utah County, a Democrat winning Utah County in the 90s, it really was astounding, was with these Diet Coke Mormons. And the way she phrased it was they're willing to give away one Democratic vote because it's most of the flavor and none of the guilt. So they are willing to go away with party if they feel like the person aligns with them a little bit more. I don't know if Hillary Clinton is that candidate that they feel. I mean, Bill Orton, Jim Matheson, they could get out on the streets and press the flesh and really try to identify with people. But another fascinating thing about this election is that the Democrats are trying to appeal to the silent majority. And that, I mean, talking about those Nixon years, that has been a major part of the Republican identity. And I've been talking to people lately, Republicans, about this. And it is interesting that they do really identify themselves as the silent majority. And I say, can you go Democratic? Can you go that way with your values? And a few of them have said yes. Most of them are wishy-washy. But you can tell people are truly conflicted. It's really interesting.
What have you found, Professor, about that question? When they because there's this interesting thing. Matt Canham of the Tribune, he wrote this piece back in March, and he interviewed Matt Miles at Brigham Young University, Idaho, and he said this really. And Canham was trying to figure out the same thing we're talking about: will Utah voters, Mormon voters in particular, what do they think about Donald Trump? And Matt Miles said, you have a group. And I'm quoting from Matt's piece. He said, you have a group who cares more about politics than the church. Those Mormons tend to be Trump supporters. For those religion-first Mormons, they won't support Trump. What do you make of that? This question that if they put their values first, then it's more difficult. But if they put their party first, they'll probably go with Trump.
And I would say it's probably hard to sort out who falls in each of those two camps. That's an interesting way to put it. I do think there are certainly Mormons who are very engaged politically, very attached to the Republican Party, and it will be quite difficult for them to vote for someone else. And in terms of other Mormons, I think there are certainly members of the church who are deeply conflicted and just don't know what to do. And whether they can cross over and vote for a Democrat, especially for Hillary Clinton, whom they seem to have already made some judgments about over time. So this is not just a generic Democrat. This is not Bill Orton. This is someone –
she has her own moral
failings. She has a history anyway. And I'm not sure sending Bill Clinton to be the surrogate is the right move for Utah. I mean, if I were running the Hillary Clinton campaign, I would encourage Tim Kaine to come quite a bit and talk about his mission experience in Honduras. And I'd have Hillary Clinton talk a lot about her advocacy for children. And those are the kinds of things that might cause people to rethink their decisions. But I think this is a difficult ask for someone to leave their party allegiance and vote for a woman they made judgments about, rightly or wrongly, whatever you might think about those judgments. They've come to some conclusions about her. And obviously Mormon Democrats will say, well, those conclusions are too hasty and they haven't fully considered the record. But I think that's the conflict that people are feeling. And how any one individual navigates religious commitments and political commitments, again, I think is difficult because for so many years, for so many Mormons, those two things have gone together.
Yeah. Robert Gerke, what do you think about that? Do you have a hunch about whether politics often trumps?
I think all that? Chris nailed it. I mean, I think we have seen that that Mormon voters will break with their party on occasion. I mean, you mentioned Bill Orton. We've seen Jim Matheson win repeatedly in this state in congressional races, and we've seen Ben McAdams win pretty. By a healthy margin in Salt Lake County. So, you can't win those races without getting crossover votes, independent Mormon voters to go your way. And there is sort of this mystique in the West and in Utah about the individual, the individualism and rugged individualism. And so I don't think there is an indication that Mormon voters won't necessarily be lockstep Republicans, even though they typically have been. They identify themselves. I mean, almost half of the registered voters in the state are registered independents. Yeah. There's nearly as many independents as there are Republicans. So there is indication that there would be an opportunity for a Democrat to do well in the state. It's just not Hillary Clinton. She's not Jim Matheson. She's not Bill Orton. She's not Ben McAdams. And so I just think that's it's a non-starter.
Morgan, is this an opportunity for Utah Democrats?
It's hard because Utah's getting so much press and Democrats have to be so excited about this. But if you look at the other statewide races, Governor Herbert is going to win by a lot. People are saying Mike Lee might have a historic win. So they're trying to get as much play out of it. But it really is just this about Trump. It's less about the Democratic Party. The Democrats would be wise to try to take advantage. But if this truly were
But how would they take advantage by talking about that sort of moderate inclination of voters, right?
Right. By talking about this new silent majority that the Democrats are trying to create. And, I mean, we've talked about the convention the last few weeks. And the joke is that the Democrats put on an amazing Republican convention. It was all about patriotism. It was positive. And, I mean, you could almost hear, like, the George H.W. Points of Light speech or Reagan. It was so I think if they are going that track in Utah, they're talking about the economy and they're trying to put their arm around that silent majority. Maybe they make inroads, but this isn't the year, I think, where we look back and say this was the sea change.
Well, I think there is one interesting race, though. I think the Mia Love Doug Owens race
very much
in the 4th
yes.
district, it's going to be very much in play. And I think the issue that Chris identified about will voters stay home? And it's fascinating to watch because Mia Love is distancing herself from Donald Trump just as much as Doug Owens is trying to distance himself from Hillary Clinton. Now, the Republican Party's pointed to the fact that Doug Owens gave money to Hillary Clinton, but neither of them are endorsing. Neither of them went to their party's national convention. And neither of them will actually say they're even going to vote for their party's candidate. So,
But we also saw that with Matheson.
Yeah.
With Obama.
We
saw
that frequently with Matheson when they were trying to nail him down. Of course, in that race, Mia Love was, couldn't get close enough to Mitt Romney. It's a little different dynamic this time. And I think if voter turnout's depressed, it probably works to the Democrats' advantage.
I think in a larger sense, too, it'll be interesting to see how this conflict in the Republican Party ultimately plays out in Utah and among Utah Mormons, because the Republican Party really is facing some tough questions and a kind of civil war within the party about what sort of party it's going to be in the future. And so I totally agree with Morgan that the hesitancy in voting Republican seems to be largely about Donald Trump, not about questioning their Republican attachments. But what happens to the Republican Party in the future does matter for what Utah Mormons ultimately will do.
There's an interesting – Michael Barone is he's a political observer, a longtime political student of the game. And he said the biggest predictive factor of, for who's going to support Donald Trump goes to the social connectedness. And Chris and Quinn and some of the BYU studies have said that Mormons are an incredibly socially cohesive group.
Yeah.
And that and the people who are supporting Trump are the people who don't have that connectedness, the people who are, you know, worried about their jobs or worried about immigration and have sort of a turmoil, have bounced around the country. And that's not Mormons. And so there's already that inclination to not be a supporter of Donald Trump just because of those factors.
Let me take some calls. 801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Suzanne is with us in Sandy. Suzanne, welcome.
Hello. I just wanted to call in. I am actually running for state office right now down in Sandy Draper as an active LDS member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on the Democratic ticket. And I would argue with Robert that there's more than one interesting race in the state. And I just am hoping that people will pay attention because the issues that many of us are running on the Democratic ticket are Utah values, our LDS values of safe air quality and higher quality public education for our children and access to health insurance for our kids. These are Utah values, and I hope people will not be apathetic at the top of the ticket, and I hope people will vote all the way down because the bottom of the ballot matters. Your vote matters, and I hope people will vote.
Morgan, this gets at something you were talking about, that everyone's talking about Trump and some of these big issues are sort of falling by the wayside maybe.
Right, and I think this is going to be an issue for state parties on both sides throughout the country, trying to still get people to turn out because there are congressional races in play, there are state legislative, there are these county races, and they want people to turn out. I saw recently a poll for the presidential races, and one of the options was don't vote. And that is interesting, or I won't vote. That's interesting because the first question always is, are you a registered voter? The yeah. second question is, are you likely to vote for this survey at least? And the next question for them to even be given the issue or the option of I won't vote is pretty telling. So this will just be a challenge for candidates, for parties, to try to make sure they get that turnout and for these legislative races. And then also going back to the congressional race that everybody is watching. And it will also be interesting to see if the third party candidates affect the Love and Owens race, because one of the things she said after she lost to Matheson that first time was we did not take into account how many third party votes there would be. And that could have been a deciding factor for her in that one. So as we're having more of these presidential candidates try to come out, there's just more and more challenges. Turnout, these third party votes not going your way.
And I think the other thing, so I agree with what Morgan was just saying, that this matters a great deal. I mean, all of these races down the ballot are going to matter in terms of the nature of governance at the state and sub-state level even. But one of the things that the caller said was that was the argument that I think lots of Mormon Democrats have been making, which is that Utah Mormon
Our
Republicans –
Our values align more with you.
Exactly.
This
Mormon
the
Republicans
been for
are just
years.
way too willing to adopt the Republican Party's positions, and that there really are ways in which Mormons could fit comfortably within the Democratic Party. And so I think, yeah, that's an argument that Mormon Democrats have been trying to make for a long time. It's hard when the national reputations of the parties are different. But that's, I think, also goes to what's going to happen this year with Trump. If he fundamentally changes the vision of the Republican Party, the image of the Republican Party at the national level, then if he's more than just a one-off candidate, in other words, then you could see a little more sorting in different ways than we've seen typically in Utah. But that's a big if.
Do you think that one of the things that I've always wondered about is with the ascendancy of Donald Trump, it seems like some of these social issues like abortion, like same-sex marriage, they're sort of falling by the wayside, that they're not as critical a factor right now because it's hard to tell where Donald Trump is on some of those issues.
Well, and on some of those issues, it sometimes still feels like we're in the 1980s. Right? I mean, how often do we take votes in Congress about those sorts of issues? And so if that's the issue you're voting on, and yet it's not really on the national agenda, then, you know, why is that such a big factor in any one individual's vote?
Well, and with young voters, we're seeing that many of them don't even think those are issues. Those were solved in the 70s and 80s. Why are we still talking about them?
Let's see, Saul writes, I'm going to vote for Trump, but I wish I could vote for Cruz. Write him in. I think Trump will at least give the media more interesting stuff to write about.
Thank you, Donald.
Let's go back to the phones. Erica is with us in Sandy. Erica, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome.
So I'm a Mormon Democrat, and as I'm trying to figure out how to, I feel like this is an opportunity for me to actually talk to about politics with my fellow church members who are Republicans. And I think we Democrats have to take on a certain amount of humility here. And we have, because as you were saying, this hatred of Hillary Clinton is a really important part, it seems to me, of Republican identity for decades. It's just, it's been an article of faith for them. And I think we have to, it's a big ask. We need to say, listen, I know you can't stand this person. I realize that asking you to vote for her or write in somebody else will result in her election. And this is huge. This is huge, but we're asking you to do this in order to save the country. And I'm wondering if your guests have any data on whether Mormons are looking at this in terms of preserving the Constitution, because be it cultural or doctrinal, the idea that the Mormon idea that the U.S. Constitution is divinely inspired runs deep. And so, you know, I'm wondering, and in my opinion, Trump is threatening the Constitution every day. That's what demagogues do. So I'm wondering if we can look at it, if we can start the conversation that way with Utah Republicans.
It's a good question. To go back to that David Harmer, he wrote a blog post explaining why he had left. And the way he wrote about the reason he left, he talked about those stakes being that high, that this was about a constitutional thing, that, you know, that this was, that the stakes were really high. What do you think? How do you react to that?
Within the Republican Party, there are certainly some in the, say, the Mike Lee wing of the Republican Party who would very much agree with that.
Yeah.
Who would say, look, this is about the Constitution and the Constitution is at stake and we need to be very careful before voting for somebody like Donald Trump. And I think it's interesting, for example, that this goes back to what Morgan was saying. At which convention was the Constitution trumpeted? You know, you think about the Kahn family holding up the Constitution and people now taking constitutions to Donald Trump rallies and holding them up. So I do think there's a sense that Donald Trump is an unusual candidate, and not unusual in the usual ways, right? He represents something very different, something that we haven't seen in a long time. And so Democrats, as well as sort of Mike Lee Republicans, worry about what that means for our constitutional system.
What do you think?
I think the counter to that would be that so many Republicans, even if they do not like Trump, the thing that they're falling back on is, what about the Supreme Court nominations? Mm-hmm. And I think that's how, I'm sure Erica won't like me saying this, but that's their lens. That's how they're protecting the Constitution. For whatever reason, they feel that Hillary is much more dangerous. Because really, that's when we talk about protecting the Constitution, we're talking about the Supreme Court and how they are interpreting and ruling on cases.
And there's an impression that somehow Donald Trump it would pick a Supreme Court nominee who would be more sensitive to abortion rights foes.
The interesting thing
is— That's not a given.
They're not even talking about who he would pick. I think there's just such a fear that she would pick these quote-unquote liberal activist judges. You hear that term when we talk about Democrats nominating justices. I think there's such a fear that she could hurt the Constitution that way, that is their fallback. At least the Republican would be nominating our justices.
Well, and I think Trump really tried to drive that point home when he put out a list of candidates or potential
that
Supreme Court justice
Thomas
that
Lee.
Included Tom Lee, Mike Lee's brother, and a Utah Supreme Court justice. It was well received generally by the Republican establishment as people who we feel okay with these people much better than, again, the alternative of having one, two, maybe three liberal judges appointed and changing the face of the court for the next 30 years.
801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. Here with Robert Gerke of the Salt Lake Tribune, Morgan Lyon-Cotty of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, Chris Karpowitz of Brigham Young University. We need to take a break. We'll do that quickly and then come back for some final thoughts. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we've been talking about, will Utah voters vote for Donald Trump? That's the sort of basic question. Chris Karpowitz of Brigham Young University, he's the co-director of the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy there, is with us. Morgan Lyon-Cotty, program manager at the Hinckley Institute of Politics here at the University of Utah, and Robert Gerke with the Salt Lake Tribune. Robert, one of the things that you've been writing about, you've mentioned in some of your work, is that Trump's weak support among Mormon voters could prove, as you've put it here, more costly in battleground states in the Intermountain West, Arizona, Nevada in particular.
Yeah. I mean, those are sort of the two that jump out. You know, they have sizable Mormon populations, and they are battleground states. Nevada has been, you know, a battleground state for the last several elections, and this time many are predicting Arizona as potentially being a battleground just because of the large Hispanic population there that they think is unlikely to vote for Trump. So, yeah, I mean, those they may not be determinative, but they could, you know, they could be a problem for him in the election in November.
Morgan, what do you think, just in terms of like the Mormon voting bloc? Let's go outside of Utah, Intermountain West sort of thing. How significant, how influential is that bloc?
I think, as Robert said, I mean, Trump doesn't need anything making life harder for him at the moment. He doesn't seem to care. He seems to actually like to make life harder for himself. just is so interesting. He likes to have bad news days and take bad news days away from Clinton. So these battleground states, I mean, if you look at them, Clinton is ahead, whether by a lot or a little, in most of the states. So if he even wants a chance of winning Nevada or Arizona or these other states, he's got to start appealing to some of these pockets, these Mormons, the Hispanic voting group, and those other groups that so far he's driven away.
One other thing that probably these are the things that don't necessarily show up in the ballot box, but 4 years ago, Mormons mobilized for Mitt Romney. They were running bus trips to Colorado and Nevada and Arizona to try to register voters and make sure that people were registered to vote by mail when they could. And they were doing phone banks, you know, and this was a huge outpouring and a huge ground game that was very important. That's not going to be there this time, I can guarantee.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. And with Prop 8 in 2008 in California, when you talk about the Mormons' influence, it's not necessarily about the number of California Mormons who voted. It's about the phone banks. It's about the money they donated and the money they raised.
Yeah, they were rolling out to Ohio. They were all of these battleground states, they mobilized for Romney. And there's just not going to be that same sort of ground game for Trump.
If nothing else, Mormons are really good at organizing. So when you lose that,
bring
you lose
casseroles.
That's right. I think too, Mormons have been so reliably Republican that Republicans haven't had to worry about them at all. And so we may see that a little more attention to this group in these battleground states.
One of our callers, David, was a delegate for Bernie Sanders. He said now that he's out, the 80% of Utah Democrats who voted for Bernie in primaries are now going to go to Jill Stein. I wonder what you make about this part of it. He's saying progressives and conservatives don't like Hillary. What sort of a role is that faction going to play in the scheme of things? It seems like not much.
Well, I think nationally you've seen that Democrats have united behind Hillary more effectively than Republicans have united behind Donald Trump. And so while I expect that Jill Stein's numbers will be better than we would have seen for the Green Party in other years, I still expect that the vast majority of Democrats will end up with Hillary Clinton.
And there's a lot more moderate Democrats and independents in Utah than there are liberal or progressive Democrats. And those moderates, those independents, those go to Hillary. Those don't go to Bernie.
So, Morgan, let me come back to something you had said earlier. You said you didn't think that this was going to be, you know, everyone's – Democrats in the state in particular are always looking for that sort of turning point moment when things finally change. You're not seeing that this year with Donald Trump as the banner leader for the Republican Party, at least the presidential.
Are we talking about the change with the Republicans or the Democrats?
With the Democrats.
You know, maybe we will look back and say, hey, this was the first year. This was the inkling they were starting to make progress. But the number of competitive races are so small here in Utah that it's just so hard for the Democrats to make inroads. And, you know, maybe if Hillary was a more appealing candidate, I think that's the trickiest thing, is that there does seem to be this window, but I don't think Hillary is the candidate that the Democrats in Utah, those moderates or even those moderate Republicans that are dissatisfied, that they want to jump ship for.
And I don't think the Clinton campaign has yet shown much savvy with respect to what would play in Utah. I mean, the way for a Democrat to win in Utah is the way Ben McAdams does it, or the way Jim Matheson did it. And
moving to the center.
Move to the center and reassure people on these sorts of social issues as well.
What do you think about that, Robert? Are you finally, do you see any change actually happening in November in Utah politically?
I think there's potential for some change. I mean, we talked about the Love Owens race, and that one, if that one swings to a Democrat, that would be a significant shift. I think there at the legislative level, some potential contested races, and the Trump at the top of the ticket could maybe play out in those. I mean, we talked about the challenge of trying to get people to go vote in their local elections, and so. There's some window there, but I think, you know, at the top of the ticket, as Morgan mentioned, it's going to be a challenge for Democrats to really take advantage of maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity of this sort of unpopular candidate. And I've seen Democrats trying to, you know, hang Donald Trump around the state Republican Party's neck and you know, let them carry that cross. But it's to what end is sort of the question. And again, without good viable candidates up and down the ticket, it's going to be difficult for him to take advantage.
It's Robert Gerke, reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune, covers politics and government. Robert, thanks very much.
Thanks, Doug,
for being with us. Morgan Lyon-Cotty, State Program Manager at the University of Utah's Hinckley Institute of Politics. Thanks for walking up.
Happy to.
And Chris Carbot drove all the way from Provo. He's the co-director of the Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy and Associate Professor of Political Science at BYU. Thanks very much for being with us as
Thank
well.
Thank you.
Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your comments. You can continue the conversation by going to Radio West at KUER.org. Radio West is a production of KUER News, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard, Andy Langclark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.